welcome back to the Press Play Podcast, the only podcast on the internet. It'll go all in whenever we goddamn please. I'm your host, Matt Dasher.
I'm Ian.
My name's Seth.
And tonight we're going to be covering my pick of the week, which is the 1935?
Not even close.
No, 50s, dude.
1954.
My apologies. 1954, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Universal Horror Movie Monster. This was my introduction to the Universal Horror Movie Monsters as a child. It's the first of the bunch that I saw. It's
me too, actually.
Been my favorite ever since. Yeah, it's been my favorite ever since. Not because I think it's better than its contemporaries, but because the creature just looks so goddamn cool. For 54, the prosthetics and the, you know, the practical effects, the makeup, I think they did a hell of a job. He breathed out of water like a fish breathes out of water. The eyes look like fish eyes. Other than that, the movie itself, let's talk about it, eh? Seth, have you ever seen this film?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Ian obviously has, so as per tradition. Seth, I see the little smirk on your face right now, so please go ahead and get it off your chest.
I don't know if I like this.
This movie's hilarious.
Okay.
I love this.
All right.
I had a great fucking time watching this movie. I really, really did. This might be my favorite of the MonsterVerse too. Simply because of its entertainment factor. I mean, I do want to put you touched on the practical effects and everything in the movie and how for its time. The suit's great. The mask and everything, it looks fantastic. I do find him cute, though.
Just a little bit.
He's a little cute. I think I knew what I was in for whenever you first see the hand come out. And
the music drops.
And then it just pulls back real fucking slow.
Dude.
And they reuse that footage, too, which I find funny as hell. Anytime the music dropped, I laughed. It was just, it's so cheesy, and it's so just 50s B-movie.
And it's loud, too. I don't know.
It's
what
super loud.
I was going to say, I didn't want to go through my collection because I don't know where it is. So I spent the $4 to watch it on YouTube. And every time they would play that score, I had to turn it down. Because it's so freaking loud, and then I had to turn it back up when people are talking. It's so irritating. I had my remote in my hand the whole time. I'm like, I gotta have a beer right now, but no. Yeah. But other than that, it's funny that you mentioned that that you thought this was the 30s, because a lot of people don't know that this is 1954. It's the last of the Universal Monster Brethren that was added to the collection. Simply because they were shying away from the whole monster thing in favor of, I think aliens were a big craze at the time.
Sci-fi was
becoming very big. And just, you know, horror that was more psychological or science fiction instead of the Universal Monsters. But, you know, they gave it one last shot, and when the creature's underwater, I think is when I like him the most, because the suit definitely is made to function underwater. And when he's swimming underneath the woman, and it just looks so menacing. And also, I agree, he is a little adorable.
But they
overused the music for me, because every time he did anything, he could have been taking a shit. Da, da, da!
Yeah. But to your point, I agree. When he was in the water is when he looked the best, because that suit, I dare say that the practical effects and the makeup for this film, because that was all shot underwater. I mean, that was real footage of a man in a suit underwater swimming, and it looked fucking remarkable for the 50s. It was, I would dare say, it was ahead of its time.
And the crystal clear waters of Wakulla Springs, Florida also helped.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right down the street.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there watching it, and I look at my fiance, because they say a line. So when you're hearing something to the effect of when you're hearing the in the depths of the Amazon River. It's like, you're not in the Amazon River, dude. You're in Northwest Florida.
You're in Florida.
Yeah.
Right. So look at all these cypress trees. Yeah. Typical Amazon foliage, cypress trees.
Right,
but
yeah, exactly.
I do give credit to whoever went and who, you know, because there's a surveying team that has to go out and find these locations. It looks great. I love the location of the
It does look great.
And then you get to, because most of the movie takes place in the lagoon on the boat, and then you get to his lair, which also looks great because it reminds me, even though this movie came out 25 years later. It still reminds me of the Frankensteins and the Draculas and their set designs. The sets are great when you're in the creature's lair, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's fitting. It matches the ambiance. It matches, you know, the menace of the creature. It's where you would expect a creature like that to hang out. You know, not only does it, I mean, the Gill Man is the official name, but nobody ever calls him the Gill Man. He's always called the creature. But, you know, again, when he was...
I waver back and forth.
Yeah, I think the most remarkable part is, again, when he was outside the water, just the way that he breathed looked like an actual fish out of water. That was remarkable attention to detail for the 50s. You know, and bravo to everybody that was on the team that put that together.
Although I do have a one nitpick, and that is the overarching King Kong or Beauty and the Beast subplot. I could do without. I would be more happy if they were just hunting him because they needed him, and that's basically where they were going until, you know, the woman got captured, which of course she did. She's the only woman on this fucking boat.
And you're waiting for him to grab her.
You're sitting there waiting like, oh, he's gonna get her. Besides that, just the whole they need him because they need proof and no one's going to believe them without it. I'm here for that because it becomes the obsession, like the great white whale almost. And you know, you have our two leading men whose names I don't remember, even though I watched this today, because they look the fucking same.
Identical.
Yeah. I don't know which is which half the time because they're running around in goggles. I don't know who the fuck I'm supposed to be rooting for here. I forgot their names, but one of them is like, no, we have to kill it because, you know, it's the only reason that we're out here. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I'm here for that. And then he just goes mad trying to catch it. But no, we have to save the princess. God damn it.
Yeah. And they imply in this film that they killed it. They imply in this film that they did kill it, but let's be honest, this film spawned, what, two sequels?
Two movies.
I know two sequels. For sure. Yeah.
Return to the Black Lagoon or whatever, and The Creature Walks Among Us, I think it's called.
Yeah. There's a reason why we're not covering those two.
Let's not.
You know, as far as the Universal Horror Movie Monsters are concerned, do I think this is the best movie out of the bunch? No. But he's definitely my favorite character, and that's saying a lot because Frankenstein's in the mix there.
Yeah, as far as movie goes, I agree with you, but I also think that he's my favorite creature, or monster, as it were, out of the, what is it, like eight?
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, you've got Dracula, Frankenstein,
the Mummy, Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll,
the Invisible Man. No, I don't think Jocko Jackal counts. The Invisible Man is one of them, and I think the Phantom of the Opera is the other one of the other monsters in their eight movie collection.
Yep.
I don't think Dr. Jekyll is even involved in that.
You know, all of which are endearing in their own little way, and to say that you like one over the other, you're not going to be wrong because I love all of them. But again, this one, and I don't know if it's the reason that it's the first one of the bunch that I saw, or that just, I think over time, this makeup design holds up because it does. It looks better than some of the shit you see nowadays.
I think part of that is because you are viewing it in black and white. So
I think
it does obscure some that, you know, whatever flaws there were in it. I don't know if any color pictures of this thing exist.
Yeah, there are.
They do. Just like there's pictures of Frankenstein that exist in his makeup and it actually looks funny.
It's a very dark green, almost blackish color.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very aquatic.
There was an effect they love to use in this, and that's rear projection.
Yeah.
It's used a lot, and I gotta give it to them. It looks better than some modern day green screen. Mm-hmm. They really knew how to, they knew how to cop it in, and you know, especially when like on the boat, and if the background's moving around, and like you're floating. But I don't understand something. You see them on a real boat in Wakulla Springs. They're filming on location, and then they go to a set with rear projection. I don't get why they did that.
Probably time. They probably didn't. Or time had something to do with it, I'm sure.
Maybe cost.
Yeah.
It could be cost. But, you know, cameras were rather bulky back then. Cameras were.
Yeah.
But there is one thing in this movie that I... You know, we're talking about a creature, a large fish man in a lagoon in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that I can't dispel my disbelief enough to believe. Mm-hmm. Our female scientist lead. I lost count at 12 outfit changes. 12. Yeah. I know there's more. First of all, where the fuck did she bring all that shit? Where is she keeping it? She's the only one that changes clothes. And her hair is perfect.
The entire
time. I don't believe a fucking thing of it.
No, because she's in Wakulla Springs, Florida, and probably the spring or summer. So it's at least in the 80s with about 85%, 90% humidity in Florida. No, your hair don't stay that perfect, sweetheart. I'm sorry. No. That does not happen.
I mean, there was one part where she changes clothes three times in the same day.
Yeah.
Why? How did you bring all this? Who allowed it? First of all, you're wasting precious research dollars with your fucking wardrobe and your goddamn hair products. Okay, rant over.
Okay.
There's one part of this movie that's really stupid, and this is more, I don't know if this is a nitpick or a complaint or what I'm going to call it, but the opening with the narration is superfluous.
Oh, Genesis? It had no business in this movie whatsoever.
Nope. This has nothing to do with anything.
No. They just put Genesis on there because they just wanted to, like, put Genesis on there. That's all that was.
It sounds smart in a monster movie.
When they mentioned how hot the Earth was, what it was, 6,000 degrees. Sure, throw that out there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? You know, we'll just pick a number with no research or scientific basis to support it, because nobody's going to care. It's a monster movie. Because
you can't. It's 1954. You can't Google it. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, but that whole part was stupid.
And
there is another stupid part Our two male leads, our antagonist and our protagonist, are sitting in the boat on the water, and our antagonist is sitting there with a harpoon with a gun. He's like, come on. And then the other guy
says,
are you talking to me or something out there? Well, gee shit, Sherlock.
But he goes,
I wonder who he's talking to. He's looking out into the river. I assume he just wanted your attention.
But he literally says, both.
Yeah,
he does say both.
Neither of those things make sense.
I think it should be mentioned that, you know, this design, this creature has been replicated in a lot of movies, like, you know, The Way of Water, Hellboy, Ape Sapien. You know, they're all direct ripoffs of the creature from the Black Lagoon. Monster Squad did it the best. Yeah, Monster Squad did it the best because the creature in the Monster Squad was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't see Shape of Water because I never once watched A Creature from the Black Lagoon and wondered, what if we made it a movie about it fucking?
Yeah. What if it captures the girl and they fuck? Let's make that movie. Oh, okay. Guillermo del Toro is going to handle that for us. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, who greenlit that shit?
I don't know.
People were raving about that movie, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I literally thought that movie was a backstory of Ape Sapien. But apparently it's not. It's a completely different creature altogether. They just look identical.
Yeah, they damn sure do, don't they?
Yeah, like identical.
But yeah, I was thinking of Abe Sapien like through half the movie. I was just like, this is funny how identical they look. It's not even fair.
Yeah. But all in all, Creature from the Black Lagoon, it's a quintessential B, so it gets a hard B plus for me.
Oh, I agree.
Oh yeah, B plus all the way.
Yeah.
I kind of figured this was going to be a short review because
it's Creature from
it's pretty movie. Straightforward.
Yeah,
it's also an hour and 19 minutes long. I mean, there's not a lot of content to cover there. You know, they're on the boat, they're in the water.
The story is as simple as it gets.
And this movie would have barely broke 60 minutes had they not elongated all the underwater shit.
Exactly.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all the underwater scenes are just they're dragged out just to make this movie feature length.
Yep. But it works because they look great.
I don't know how many times they reused the footage of the creature just in the weeds, just looking up like
just looking with fat toad face, just fat toad face and looking around like
Yeah, I think I counted like 4 or 5 times they did that same shot.
Right. All right, Seth, what you got for us next week? I already know.
He's got nothing. It's my turn.
I got nothing. It's Ian's
turn. Oh, yeah, that's right. I apologize. Ian, what do you have for us next week, sir?
We're watching The Flintstones still. I'm holding tight with that one because I know it's going to piss Dasher off.
All right.
That's what you get.
I mean, something. You know,
I'll figure it out what you
whatever.
Need.
Whatever.
You should have been talking shit.
I never once talked shit about this film. I just said didn't like it. I didn't give my reasons why yet.
No, because you didn't like the Flintstones growing up.
I did not. I was not a Flintstones fan.
Just anyway,
wasn't my cup.
I don't even know if we should bother saying what Seth's going to do because after my review, I'm going to be in Sacramento, so I'm not going to have time for a podcast. And then Seth's going to be on his honeymoon.
You're right.
Yeah.
So
Seth, you got like there's like a month before Seth gets a pick. Damn near
at least 3 weeks.
I you land on the 4th.
Yep.
And then all that week, and then I leave for Hawaii on the 14th. Then I will be back on sometime the following week, and I go back to work on the 28th. So.
Me and Ian were talking about it last night while you're on honeymoon. We didn't think you would mind. We're probably going to cover something horror related, just the two of us. We haven't decided yet what that is.
We talked about this last night. I'm like, we need to make it something Seth will never watch, regardless of what we say.
Right.
Like when we did True Blood that one time.
Yeah. So I mean, you won't be missing out, but just to keep the wheels a turning, so to speak. You know, we're. Gonna put one out in your honor, sir.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so we gotta think of something Seth would never agree to.
Exactly.
So we got a few weeks to think about it because I have no idea what we're gonna do.
Well, we'll think of something. I mean,
review maybe. Legends of the Fall. That fucking piece of shit.
I don't even know what that is.
Right on.
All right. Well, it's been short. It's been real short,
sweet and fun.
Later.
Bye-bye.